If you are able to stand to hear God's infallible word as proclaimed to us through the writings of the beloved Apostle Paul, reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And that's a reality, isn't it? I witness the gospel to people that do not hear it, will not hear it. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But then what he goes on to say, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And those of us who, by God's sovereign grace, have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and been enabled to believe it, would testify, amen? Would testify that it is the power of God, that gospel is the power of God that brings us to the right place. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Prophecy from Isaiah that those who reject the gospel will be dealt with. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. You don't get to know God by your own intelligence. Some of the smartest people I have ever known do not know God. Sorry for keeping you standing, but I'm under the Spirit. And He'll give you the Spirit to stand. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Is the preaching of this word is the means that God communicates the saving message in Jesus Christ. For Jews request a sign, prove it. And Greeks seek after wisdom. Argue it to us. But what? We preach Christ crucified to the Jews a stumbling block. They could never allow the Messiah to be crucified. And to the Greeks, foolishness. It doesn't work out in our logic. But to those who are being called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Hallelujah. Thank you for this word. Amen. The power that is the gospel. Where is the power of the church, and how does it come to us? We live in an age where we really get focused on being user-friendly as a church, and there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But that being user-friendly is not the source of the power. Someday I'm going to preach a series of sermons the way God has blessed me in my life, very undeservedly. Spurgeon says you understand predestination by reading it backwards like you do Hebrew. And I look back over my life, and I see so many great blessings that God gave to me. I didn't realize it at the time, but as I grow older, I'm more profoundly touched by what He's done for me. He did not have a lot to work with when He called me. Now, you all laugh, but that's true. And one of the ways He blessed me, I was blessed to have two great teachers about ministry. Both of them are now with the Lord. The one was the preacher that was preaching when God's sovereign hand touched me and an unbeliever came to believe. The other was my privilege to work alongside at a very large urban church in Johnson City, A church that had fallen on hard times, that sanctuary would hold 1,500 people. They were down to about 200 and 280. And they called this preacher, R. Paul Smith. And he was needing some assistance, so they hired me as the assistant. God sent me there to have the opportunity to walk alongside a great, great minister. And what made him great was not the world calling him great, but what made him great was his devotion to the Lord and his clarity of what the ministry was about. And I'll never forget, and I've shared this story with some of you, I'll never forget going out with him to visit. Now, we're told today you've got to do everything appropriate and everything you can to get people to come to church. And there is a little bit of truth in that, not much. But I went out to visit him, and he was the kind of minister that if a new lawyer moved to town or a new garbage collector moved to town, he was as quick to go see one as the other. And he didn't go to the Rotary Club to eat where all the big shots eat. There's nothing wrong with that. But he would go down and pack his lunch and go down. Johnson City was a foundry town then. Go down and eat lunch with those men on the lot at the foundry, most of whom had never darkened a church. That's the kind of man he was. So a new doctor had moved into our city, and we went to visit that doctor. And that doctor was from New York, a very polished, erudite man. We went in there to visit with him, and this doctor had been visiting around. He hadn't visited our church yet, but Reverend Smith went there to invite him, and we sat down to talk, and he starts talking about the churches he visited in town. He listed one that had a bowling alley in this church, an indoor Olympic swimming pool. He lists all that church offers. And we had a beautiful church. We didn't have any of those things. But he says, "Now, Mr. Smith, what does your church have to offer? What does your church have to offer? In light of all these facilities and all these nice things, what does your church have to offer?" And this verse was on Brother Smith's mind. Verses were always on his mind because he knew the Bible. We all need to be that way. And he said, "Well, my friend, our church has nothing to offer you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you're looking for anything else, you won't find it with us." And being a young pastor that had no sense, I said, "That doctor will never come here. That's a terrible way to approach that all." And so a few Sundays later, this doctor shows up at an evening service. He began to come to all the services. One Sunday he came up and said, "I've been a member of the church since I was 12 years old, but I never knew Jesus Christ, and I never knew my real need of salvation till I started coming here." And he quit his vacations on the Riviera, and he went with a noted doctor in Johnson City every year and spent his time putting little children in India to sleep so surgery could be done on them. The point is that the power of the church is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we miss that, Lakeview's going to have no power. If the focus of our ministry is not to a lost and dying world, not to make them happy, but to tell them the truth, which is Jesus and God's plan, we're never going to have power. I served a church one time and always said, "Well, we just get the right program, preacher. Preacher, we'll begin to grow." And I said, "All right, go for it." And they must have had 5 different programs, and it didn't grow, and the church didn't have any power. People say, "Well, I go to that church because I like the music. I go to that church because they got a good-looking preacher. Well, you all can say that, but and people say all kinds of things. It's the reasons they go. I go to it because it's big. I go to it because it's little. Those are all wrong reasons. Seldom do I hear people say, I go to my church because they tell me about Jesus. They tell me about the way he will provide salvation. They tell me about the way he can save me. That's the reason I go to church there. And every time I hear that message, it gladdens my soul. I love to hear my old mother sing. I love to tell the story. And she would really bust out on that verse she sang when she cleaned house. That I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. For those love it best. Who've heard it most. I've discovered this among believers, among you. To hear the message of salvation, even though you're saved, gladdens your soul. How much more would it gladden the soul of a person that's under the burden of sin? Would it gladden the soul of a person who's anxious about life, dealing with problems, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because that's the only thing that permanently changes things. Have you ever noticed that a lot of times a church will have a preacher and he'd be real popular and then he leaves and then people quit coming and they're dissatisfied and they may get a new preacher that preaches the gospel, but that tells me that church does not have the right focus. Does not have the right focus. It's not programs. It's not fine churches. It's the preaching of the gospel that really makes a difference in people's life and the life of the world. It's the preaching of the gospel that makes a church understand what we're about. The American church has lost its power because it does not focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm always reading articles by people, and some of them are really awesome, and some of them are awesomely bad. So I read an article this week by a very famous preacher, and he was talking about the gospel is always going to be influential, especially if you're nice to people. And don't make them feel challenged. Don't be talking so much about the Bible because people don't believe in the Bible anymore, which is true, you know. But that's not being faithful. You cannot make the gospel easy. The gospel has to be the gospel. And what does the gospel tell us? Well, the gospel tells us something nobody wants to hear. That you are a sinner. Now, the world doesn't believe in sinners anymore. They don't even believe in sin. God will have a way of opening their eyes, I assure you. I told the adult Bible school class when I offered a word of wisdom, I said, I've noticed in democracies, God does two things in elections. He either gives countries a second chance or he brings them under judgment. We get the kind of government we ask for. You may not be asking for it, but as a whole. The Bible says we are all sinners, every last one of us. If you think you're not a sinner worthy of condemnation by Almighty God, you haven't looked into your heart and you haven't looked into the Bible. Every person sitting in this room in and of themselves is a miserable sinner. The world doesn't want to hear that. Joel, tell me something to make me feel good. But that's where the gospel begins. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. Brothers and sisters, people today need to be under fear. Everybody does that doesn't know Christ. If you die apart from Jesus Christ, you know what your future is? It's hell. It doesn't matter how nice you are, or how unnice you are, how rich you are, how poor you are, how good you are, how evil you are. If you are not in Jesus Christ by faith, you're going to hell. The gospel has to be bad news before it's good news. You know that? If a person's sick and needs to go to the doctor, until they admit they're sick and go to the doctor. Women, isn't it hard to get your husbands to hear that? How many women have an easy time getting their husband to go to the doctor? Well, a hand goes up. You women are honest. But the point, the truth is, though, spiritually speaking, we do not begin to get well until we confess we are sick. And then we look for an answer. And God, in the richness of His mercy and grace, has provided that answer. But not only has He provided the answer, He's provided the cure for our soul. I know personally, literally thousands of people who can tell you, not only by words, but with their life, when I received Jesus and accepted the forgiveness of my sins and had Him into my life as my Lord and Savior, I have peace and I know that I'm forgiven and I know that I have a place with God forever. Because they believe. They knew that they were unable to do anything about their state of damnation before a righteous God. I don't care how hard you work, you can't change that place. But they knew also that while they were yet dead in their sins and trespasses, all of us have been at that place. They knew then, they realized then that Christ died for them. Spurgeon says, when God looks at us, he sees Christ. You know that's true? If you've accepted Christ, when he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And he's able to do that because when he looked at Christ on the cross, he saw us. A loving Savior paying the sin debt that we all owe. Suffering the wrath of God in our place. That's the gospel. That's why we preach the cross. That's why we preach Christ and Him crucified, because that is the means by which God exacted His justice upon the sinful world, exacted His justice upon our sin, and we're forgiven. Our debt paid. Gerald Sanders' debt is paid. Not just in part, but in full. And if you're a believer, your sin debt is paid. Not just in part, but in full. And there's power in knowing that, isn't there, brothers and sisters? Is that not power in your life? Are you dead? Is it power in your life? And it has always been the power that Jesus comes to save those who will believe. And only through Jesus can you be saved. Now, the Buddha has some beautiful teachings. Buddhists don't always practice it, like sadly Christians don't always practice our teaching. We need to repent. But Buddha's message cannot save you. It cannot pay for your sins. But the perfect Lamb of God who never sinned can and did. You know the most important thing that happens in a person's life? Most important thing that'll ever happen in your child's life, your grandchildren's life, your brother's life, your sister's life, the one thing that's more important than anything else, your husband's life, your wife's life, the most important thing is that they come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they'll be spared from God's wrath and brought to life eternal. That's the most important thing. And if you don't teach your children and grandchildren that truth, shame on you. If you don't witness that to your friends, shame on you. Lakeview will have power when it's clear about the gospel. When people look at this church and they know, well, I may not always agree with the church, but there's one thing I know, that if you'll go there, you'll hear about Jesus and his redemptive power, his sacrifice on the cross, and the plan of salvation. Now, I haven't bought into it, but you'll hear that. And some of those people that know that will say, hear a person say that, will say, you know, I need peace in my soul. And if Jesus can give it to me, that's the place where I want to go. Make sure that's what the church is known for. Unregenerated people, unsaved people, be the nicest people in the world, but they're lost. Church of Jesus Christ, if you're going to be the church, know for sure that if you're going to have power, it will be in the gospel proclamation. It will be in Christ Jesus. And you know, you can have the nicest building in the world, the most beautiful music, the most hip movement and preachers, but you're worse off if you do not have the gospel than some little poor Baptist church down on the end of a dirt road that does preach the gospel. Deacons, never forget, our work is the proclamation of the gospel. Because the gospel is the only thing that has power over sin. We glory in nothing, as Brother Smith told that doctor. And that message was offensive. I could tell the minute he spoke that message was offensive to that doctor. I think it was offensive for two reasons. I think, first off, he wasn't looking for that. And the second thing, I think it made him feel guilty that he was so shallow that he was looking for it. But that word of the gospel touched that doctor's lives. It'll touch your friends' lives. It'll touch any that God moves to hear it. But if we don't hear it, they won't be moved. Our message is this, Paul testifying again. For he made him, Jesus, he made him sin who knew no sin to be sin for us. That's exactly what Jesus did. That's exactly what the gospel's about. The Lamb of God laying down his life for us. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. You who believe and been made clean are perfect in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That message is our power. It converted the Roman Empire. Because it was preached with power and lived with power. And brethren, I promise you this. If churches, and this church, let it begin with us, Lord. Don't us expect a revival to start down there at Glencoe. I hope it does. It's a great church. But it begins with us. The world will not be converted through our methods. It will be converted through the message of the gospel. And if churches get excited about that and get committed to that, if you believe in your heart, that's what America needs. You begin to practice it. You begin to proclaim it. You begin to witness it. See what God does. Not, well, You know, we Christians love everybody, and you know, we don't want to be offensive, and we want you to feel comfortable about yourself. The blank we do, almost said a bad word, Brad, you'd had to find me. The blank we do, God is angry with you. He is not going to accept you living for yourself apart from Him, but He sent the means to save you, and that's Jesus Christ. Live in that power, church. There are not many churches doing it, but live in that power and see what God does. Amen.